All participants, please stand by. Your conference is ready to begin. Mesdames et messieurs, merci d'avoir patienté. La conférence est sur le point de débuter. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Bienvenue à la présentation des résultats de BRP Inc. pour son deuxième trimestre et l'exercice financier 2015. Welcome to BRP Inc.'s second quarter and fiscal year's 2015 financial results. L'appel est sur le point de débuter. Je vais maintenant céder la parole à M. Pascal Bossé. The call is about to begin. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Pascal Bossé. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you, Maude. Good morning and welcome to BRP's second quarter results conference call for fiscal year 2015. Joining me this morning on the call are José Boisjoli, President and CEO, and Sébastien Martel, Chief Financial Officer. Before we move to the prepared remarks, I would like to remind everyone that certain forward-looking statements will be made during the call, and those are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties. I invite you to read BRP's MD&A for a listing of those. Also during the call, references will be made to supporting slides, and you can find the slide presentation on our website at brp.com under the Investor Relations section. So with no further ado, I will turn the call over to José Boisjoli.
Thank you, Pascal. Good morning, everyone. BRP reported this morning its financial result for the second quarter, and after a soft start into fiscal year 15, revenues bounced back to reach $780 million in the second quarter. The strong 26% increase when compared to the same period last year was broadly in line with our plan. For the first 6 months of fiscal year 15, revenue stood at $1,539 million. This represents an 8% increase compared to the first 6 months of last year, bringing us just slightly short of the lower end of our annual guidance. As is typically the case, the seasonality of our business and the impact of new products recently introduced are expected to result in an acceleration of revenues. We are therefore confident to reach our full-year guidance of revenue growth between 9 and 13%. Normalized EBITDA stood at $31.3 million in Q2, below our plan, due to higher costs of sales program and a worse-than-expected currency impact on gross margins. All this resulted in net loss amounting to $3.6 million, or 7 cents per diluted share. Overall, although profitability was lower than planned, our second quarter half is expected to be stronger, and particularly the fourth quarter. As such, we are reaffirming our guidance for fiscal year 15, and Sébastien will walk you through the financial result in more detail in a few minutes. Moving to the business highlight for the second quarter. For North America, our retail sales increased for both seasonal and year-round products by 19% compared to the second quarter last year. This solid performance was driven by personal watercraft and the Sea-Doo Spark, the Can-Am Spyder and side-by-side vehicles. The strong retail was also driven in part by a catch-up from the late spring season that affected year-round product sales. At the end of the quarter, our dealer inventory in the network was in good shape for both seasonal and year-round products. We increased snowmobile shipment in Q2 due to a strong order book, and this account for an estimated 5% increase of the total 2% increase in dealer inventories. Excluding Ski-Doo, our inventories were actually down 3% in aggregate, so this is a potential catalyst for the second half. To summarize for North America, we ended model year 14 for off-road vehicle at the end of June, with Can-Am gaining market share in both product lines. At international, our sales were up 8% despite the challenges in Russia and a soft economy in South America. On that note, I wish to highlight our good performance for ATV in Europe and the commercial success of the Sea-Doo Spark worldwide. We also began production of the Outlander L ETV family in June in Juarez, and we are ramping up production. We started shipping units a few weeks back, and deliveries are expected to accelerate through the third and fourth quarters. And finally, on new products, we launched an all-new outboard engine, the Evinrude G2. This engine offers a superior technology with more power, more torque, better fuel efficiency, lower emission, and lower operating cost. In addition, it also offers clean rigging and unique colored panels, enabling OEM and consumers to match the engine with the color of their boat. We feel very strongly that the Evinrude G2 is a game changer in the industry, and this will allow us to grow our propulsion system business in the future. With our focus on new product innovation, we have introduced again this year many new products. As demonstrated on slide 6, you have an overview of the timing of the announcement and when we'll start shipping to dealers. The takeaway is that all these products will have a meaningful impact on our revenue in the second half of the year. Given the strong market reception following these introductions, we are confident in our sales plan and our guidance for the year. On seasonal product, sales stood at nearly $260 million. Snowmobile sales are usually low in the second quarter, but we started production at 2 shifts from the get-go and ramp up much faster than last year to fulfill dealer orders. In personal watercraft, the season has accelerated with the North America industry growing in the low 20% compared to last year and Sea-Doo gaining market shares. By the end of season 14, we estimate that our sell-through, that means unit retail in the network, will be over 95% for the Sea-Doo Spark. This is one of our most successful product launches, so very pleased with that. Looking into model year 15, we have plans to increase production of the Spark to meet customer demand and will continue to strategically balance allocation to dealers between Spark and our traditional personal watercraft. Turning to year-round products, revenue increased 7% to $297 million, mostly driven by side-by-side and Spyder. As discussed on the first quarter earning calls, following a soft spring that affected sales in the Snowbell, we launched program with a special focus on our Maverick and our Spyder non-current models. Our objective was to deplete inventories at the dealers to prepare for new model, and I am pleased with the result. We closed the season 14 on June 30th with Can-Am side-by-side growing in the high teens, faster than the industry mid-teens. For ATV, our retail is slightly higher than the industry, but the industry growth comes from the mid-CC segment, so the introduction of the Outlander L family will help broaden our exposure to the growing markets. Our offering is highly competitive. We started shipping the 500 a few weeks ago and will accelerate shipment in the third and fourth quarter. Meanwhile, we started to work on the announced building of Juarez 2, a second manufacturing facility for off-road vehicle in Mexico. We are still early on this program, but on track. Construction will start in October for production in the fall of fiscal year 16. This is an important project as it will provide us with the much-needed space to accommodate for entry into new off-road segments. Finally, despite the cold and long winter and late start of the season, Can-Am Spyder retail is up mid-single digit season to date. For June and July, our retail was nearly 40% higher than last year. Our top-of-the-line Spyder RT 1330 is selling well, and we successfully depleted non-current model, as I mentioned earlier, so we are in good position for new product intro. Moving to slide 9. We announced this morning the introduction of the new turbocharged Maverick XDS, with redesigned front and rear suspension, redesigned CVT transmission, and the industry-first factory-installed turbocharger. Rated at 121 horsepower, this product will please the enthusiast rider with a unique offering. The fast-growing sport category represents over 25% of the side-by-side market in North America and a segment where performance is the number one buying criteria. We'll start shipping the XDS early in the fourth quarter. To get a better feel for the difference in performance, I invite you to visit YouTube and search for the clips to see firsthand the performance advantage. There have been leaks in the past weeks of the pending introduction of our new Can-Am Spyder, and this has created excitement in the social media. After 6 years, we know what customers like about the Spyder. But we also know why some are not buying, so we are addressing those elements with a new model. We'll host a club on September 23rd, and I'm looking forward to the introduction of the new model that will help please new customers. We are 10 days away from the official global launch. I invite you to stay tuned. Now, turning to propulsion system, our sales decreased 2% compared to prior year to $84 million. For outboard engine, the industry season to date is up high single digit, driven mostly by the saltwater and pontoon market, where we are not as present. As mentioned earlier, the launch of the new Evinrude D-Tech was successful, and the feedback from our dealers, boat builders, and the trade media has been excellent following the club hosted in June in Milwaukee. From a player mainly focused on the repower market, we have high aspiration with this new engine. Our strategy is to gain market share by creating a buzz with the customer to engage with boat builder. So long term, we believe we will have a sales mix that will be better balanced between new boat and the repower markets. Sales from our PAC business have increased 19% to $138 million. The growth came primarily from the good performance in personal watercraft and snowmobile PAC for the upcoming season. We also have new accessories in store for the new Maverick XDS and the Spyder F3, so a good growth lever for BRP. Let me turn it over to Sébastien for the financial review, and I will come back for the outlook.
Thank you, José, and good morning, everyone. This morning, we reported revenues of $780 million for the second quarter of fiscal 15, a 26% increase from fiscal 2014, or 20% when excluding the favorable impact of foreign exchange rates. Our gross profit of $143 million for the quarter resulted in gross margins of 18.3%. When compared to the same period last year, 650 basis points of reduction in margin is explained by higher sales program costs, mainly for SSV and Roadster, non-recurring costs related to our strategic initiatives, such as our Mexican manufacturing expansion projects, yard inventory depletion, and unfavorable foreign exchange rates. Now, coming back to the sales program, you will recall that the warm weather arrived late in North America, and retail in Q1 was slow. With the recent product news for SSV and Spyder, we wanted to make sure that dealer inventory levels were adequate and therefore invested more in sales programs. We are glad we met our objective and successfully reduced inventories at the dealer. Normalized EBITDA came in at $31.3 million, and this resulted in a normalized net loss of $8.8 million, or 7 cents per diluted share. Now, turning to our revenues by product categories and geographies on slide 15, 33% of our sales came from seasonal products, 38% were from year-round products, 11% from propulsion systems, and 18% from parts, accessories, and clothing. And the regional breakdown for the quarter was 46% of sales from the U.S., 23% from Canada, and 31% from international. The growth in Canada and the U.S. was driven by strong deliveries of PWCs, especially the Sea-Doo Spark, and strong deliveries of snowmobiles for the upcoming season. Turning to the normalized net income bridge on slide 16, volume, mix, and sales program costs had a net positive impact of $28 million. This was more than offset by higher production and non-recurring costs for $21 million, notably due to the one-time costs related to certain strategic initiatives referred to previously, and absorption of overhead costs stemming from the reduction of our yard inventory. Higher operating expenses for $14 million, driven in part by greater marketing expenses. Financing costs and income tax expense was favorable $5 million. As we had guided for the full year, our depreciation charge is higher and reduced net income by $5 million. And finally, foreign exchange ended $10 million unfavorable on our normalized net income when compared to last year. Moving to the balance sheet items, we consumed approximately $53 million of cash when compared to end of January. In any given financial year, our cash position at the end of Q2 is generally low as we ramp up for snowmobile season. As I mentioned on our Q1 call in June, our yard inventory levels at the time were higher than planned, and so we successfully reduced inventories by approximately $44 million. Capital expenditures were slightly up to $58 million, and year-to-date free cash flow is negative $70 million, slightly better than last year. We expect free cash flow to turn positive in the second half of the year. Now for a quick update on BRP's Powersport dealer inventory for North America at the end of July. When compared to the second quarter end of fiscal 14, dealer inventories were up 2%, and this was mostly driven by higher shipments of snowmobiles in the second quarter. Given the recent product announcements and the retail we had in the quarter, we are comfortable with our dealers' current inventory position. And now our guidance for fiscal 15 on slide 19. You will notice that we are leaving our guidance essentially unchanged other than the expected sales growth per different product categories. So for the year, we are expecting growth in total company revenues of 9 to 13%. We expect seasonal products to be stronger, so going from 9 to 13% to up 12 to 16%. This increase is driven by additional demand for the Sea-Doo Spark and better product mix in snowmobile. Year-round products guidance is going from up 9 to 13% to up 6 to 10%. The decrease is driven by lower industry growth in ATV versus our plan, and despite a solid retail in Q2 for SSVs, these results were not sufficient to offset the slow retail we experienced in Q1. All other metrics remain essentially the same, with normalized EBITDA forecasted to grow between 11 and 15%, and normalized net income forecasted to grow between 10 and 17%. Before I turn the call to José, I just want to say a few words on the distribution of our quarterly earnings. As you see on slide 20, when looking at the past 3 years, a stronger second half is something to be expected. This is dependent upon the timing of new product launches in the year, as well as other factors. For fiscal 15, this holds true, with the majority of our new products being shipped starting in Q3 and Q4. We also had unfavorable elements which impacted the first half of the year, and we are not expecting them to reoccur in the back half. And on that note, I will turn the call back to José.
Thank you, Sébastien. To summarize, our first half of the year is more difficult than originally planned, but our second half will be stronger than planned. In the first half, our sales were up 8%, and at retail, we are gaining market share in all product lines. Clearly, our retail in the spring was soft, but we caught up during summer, and our network inventory is at a very healthy level today. Our margin in the first half were affected by specific expenses, additional promotion dollar for the Spark marketing campaign, and the launch of the Evinrude G2. Additional sales program for the Maverick and the 2013 Spyder. Personal watercraft transfer to Mexico and the transfer of Sherbrooke Distribution Center and an unfavorable mix of foreign exchanges. However, the second half will be better than originally planned. Our snowmobile orders are strong with a very rich mix in terms of product. Also, a high proportion of our dealer orders are already pre-sold to end customers. We are ramping up production of a series of new products, the Outlander L ATV family, the new Maverick XDS, the new Spyder F3, and the Evinrude G2. All these new products are well received by our customer and show a good potential for growth. Our two ongoing Mexican projects, the transfer of personal watercraft from Velcro to Querétaro, and the construction of a new factory for off-road vehicle in Juarez, are on track. We are carefully monitoring the situation in Russia. Since July, we have been ramping up snowmobile delivery, and it's going in line with our plan. The economy in South America is difficult, but business in that region is still growing at a good pace. The Canadian dollar was stronger in the second quarter than what we had anticipated in June, but at today's level, we are still within guidance. Because of all these elements, we are confident we'll meet our year-end guidance and have a good year. So with that, I will turn the call back to the operator for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bossé. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. We thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Benoit Poirier from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Just for the Spyder, your sales season to date, the retail sales were up mid-single digit. Obviously, this was facing tough weather at the beginning of the year, but is it running below expectation, or I know you made a lot of push on the marketing side. Do you think people are kind of awaiting the new model to be launched?
Good morning. We were behind planning in the spring. The retail was soft in April and May, and there was a lot of customer, I believe, were on the fence between the old RT with the twin engine and the new RT with the three cylinder, and that's why after April and May we decided to increase the rebate on non-current from $3,000 to $4,000, which is about 15% discount, and in June, July, the retail took off, and our retail in June, July was 40% higher, more than 40% higher than last year. Then I believe there was a lot of customer on the fence in the spring, and when the good weather came, the sales really increased. Right now, we're happy overall because we are mid-single digit. The industry in the high CC motorcycle is flat this year. We're a bit behind what we had planned originally, but overall, the inventory in the network at the end of the season will be in good shape, and we're very excited with the new product that will be introduced in 10 days.
Okay, and second question, just in terms of rebates, I understand that the inventory management is very important, especially when you launch new products, but what's your feeling about the industry? Do you think we are going toward an industry where the rebates will be more typical, or is it kind of more temporary at this point?
I will say that I think overall, for normal product evolution, the rebate are probably a bit on the high side versus what we had a few years ago for all the OEM. In our case, we increased the rebate on two products. We increased the rebate on the Maverick because we knew that the XDS was coming, and after the soft spring, we decided to increase the rebate. That being said, the rebate on the Maverick was increased to $2,000, which is 12%, and that's typical in the industry at this time of the year. And the Spyder. Then we had, I would say, richer rebate on those two products. For the rest, I believe we are slightly on the high side, but overall within the norm.
Okay, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Robin Farney from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two questions. The first is, when you look at the seasonal increases in Q2, can you give us a little color on how much of that was more snow product shipping a little bit earlier versus how much of it was actually the Watercraft and the Spark shipping in Q2 that sold through? And then my second question is, I wonder if you could give us a little bit of insight here into Q3, since August is a completed month, for the two areas where you've had to be a little more promotional, specifically, you know, the side-by-sides and the Spyder, a little bit of insight into how August looked for you versus the market.
Yeah, hi, Robin. This is Sebastian. When you look at our seasonal products, revenues were up about $120 million in the quarter. FX probably accounted for approximately $10 million, so about $110 million up. Basically, two drivers of the revenue growth for seasonal products, and it's both product lines, I would say 50-50. Snowmobile, as you know, we've had a great winter season last year, so dealer orders are strong and consumer orders are also very strong. And therefore, we increased the rate of production this quarter in order to meet demand. So about, again, 50% of the increase comes from snowmobile, and the other 50% is personal watercraft. Two items driving it. You recall that we took some wholesale shipments from Q1 into Q2. And the other element is the demand for Spark is also very strong. So we produced Sparks later in the season and ship those in the second quarter. So that would be the main drivers of the revenue increase. Now, in terms of looking into the second half of the year, as we've mentioned, our second half will be backloaded. And we manage the business on an annual basis, as we said before, and not manage the business on a quarterly basis. I won't go into the specifics in terms of numerical response, but we are going to see a good improvement on the Q3 results versus Q2, and Q4 is expected to be very strong. As Jose highlighted, a lot of our new product launches are going to be delivered in Q4.
Maybe, Robin, to add to Seb's comment, in terms of retail, it's clear that we had soft retail in the spring because our business is a lot snowbelt. But we caught up in the Q2. In August, I would say that if I look at every product line, we are back on track and we're tracking with some plus and minus, but overall we're tracking according to our plan. Then we had like a blip of in the spring and catch up in the summer. This, and again, there is only a month and a half in Q3, but so far we are tracking on plan.
And I understand, you know, you're thinking longer term than just a month. I guess I'm just wondering kind of the environment that you're in so far this quarter for the year-round product. Is there just sort of a general, because the year has been a little bit volatile in terms of how the retail sales have come in. So I guess would you say just a sort of a general industry comment then, not your specific numbers, but just in general, do you feel that the on-road and the side-by-side business in August are healthy from an industry perspective, or is it maybe some more of the volatility that we've seen so far this year?
Yeah, when we look at the Q3 is usually a slow retail period for on-road motorcycle. A lot of the retail happens in Q2. So in terms of Q3, there's not a lot of activity happening, and for us, for Roadster, is not a big period. In terms of overall industry, as I've mentioned, we saw that we're seeing the ATV industry not as high as we anticipated, and that's reflective of what we're seeing in the third quarter for ATV. But SSV is still strong.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Cameron Dirksen from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I guess maybe just a couple questions on the costs. I just wonder if you could maybe talk a bit about on the operating expenses, selling and marketing and R&D. Should we expect the second half, those costs to be sort of similar to what you did in the second half last year?
Well, when we look at the R&D, the marketing spend in the first half of the year was stronger this year because of we had a big club for the launch of the new Evinrude, and we also had more intense marketing with the Spark as we wanted to make sure that Spark was a success. So we're seeing the expenses probably being tapered stronger in the first half of the year than in the second half of the year for those reasons, Cameron.
Okay, and on the R&D, it was also up year over year. Should we expect that to be down in the second half relative to the first half?
No, year over year, we should see an increase in R&D. We're continuously investing in the R&D, and that investment will continue to grow.
Okay, and just thinking about the seasonality, if I look at all the new products that you're going to be rolling out here in the second half of the year, and some starting in Q4. Is it fair to say that as we look ahead to Q1, and I know you won't want to comment on next fiscal year, but if we look ahead to Q1, should we expect that because you're introducing all these new products that Q1 year over year next year will be higher than what we saw this past Q1?
Obviously, we'll not comment on next year, but maybe what we can say on this, for sure the new Spyder will start shipping in Q4 and will be continuing next year. Obviously, we believe the new F3 will cannibalize some of the existing model, but right now we're finalizing our plan. I think one product line where you will see a lift is the Evinrude Gen 2. And again, we introduced the Evinrude Gen 2 in June. We'll start delivering in Q4 because we need to involve the boat builder put the engine into their boat, but you will see definitely a propulsion system increase next year because of the Gen 2 introduction. For the rest, the Outlander L family, we're starting ramping up in Q3, Q4. This is an add-on to our existing product line. That's why we're very confident overall when you look at our business because of all those new products. We believe we can continue our momentum, but it's obviously difficult to manage on a quarterly basis. On a yearly basis, that's the way we manage the business. On a quarterly, it's more difficult depending on seasonality and what is at the planning.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Anthony Zika from Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, gentlemen. José, with reference to the higher program cost, is there any manufacturing execution risk that could spill over into Q3? I know you did mention you're on track, but...
How can I say? What? I was thrilled to see the retail going up in the second quarter because the inventory depleted very quickly for the Spyder Non-Current and the Maverick. And after a soft spring, we decided not to take any chance and go maybe for the extra dollars. And the retail spike, probably, like I said on my introduction, a lot of customer was on the fence during the long winter, and when the summer came, the retail spike. So far in the fall, I would say that it's normal. I think we caught up most of what the lag that we had at the beginning of the year for most of the product line. And now I would say that the fall is normal. And difficult to predict at this point what the weather or the retail will do and the competition will do. But so far, I would say the fall looks normal.
Okay, and can you give us an update on the competitive landscape? Like, how does it compare this year over last year, and have you noticed any change in the consumer behavior?
I would say that there is quite a lot of product news in the off-road business. I still believe that we have very competitive product, and with the Maverick XDS, again, we want to take back the leadership position in the sport category. There is quite a lot of new product, ATV and side-by-side, coming into the industry. We're still outpacing the industry growth. The side-by-side was increased last year by mid-single digit, and we outpaced the industry. Then overall, more new product introduction in the off-road business. In terms of program, again, we were a bit more generous than what we had planned originally on the Maverick, but that was for a specific reason. I would say if you average all the OEM, we're probably up on the high side compared to previous year, but I would say we remain within the normal zone.
And probably the other thing I would add in terms of competitive landscape, on the ATV industry, we are seeing a shift from the high CC segment to the lower mid CC segment category. So that would be another element in the competitive landscape.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're well positioned in that now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Martin Landry from GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. You're obviously quite confident in the outlook for the back half, and you probably do have some visibility or very good visibility on some of the sales. And that's what I would like to know. What's the proportion of your sales for which you have very good visibility for the back half of the year?
I think if you look overall on snowmobile in North America, we have the order on hand. In Europe, in Scandinavia, we have the order on hand. Russia, like I said in the intro, is going as planned so far. Since we readjusted our plan in March, Russia is going as planned. Obviously, there is a lot to be shipped in the fall because snowmobile in Russia is important, but so far as planned. For the rest of all the product line, you need to understand that we're starting the model year 15. Then typically when you have risk, is on the tail end of a season, and most of the product line, the season hand in the summer. Then here we're ramping up in all product line, the model year 15, and our network inventory is very clean. Then that's why we are confident to have a very strong second half.
Okay. And would you be able to talk a little bit about your new Spyder? You're saying that you're trying to target a new market with that. Could you tell us exactly who you're trying to aim, who you're trying to seduce with that new product?
As I said, Martin, in my intro, after 6 years selling Spyder, we know why customer buy, but we also know why some customer hesitate or don't buy, and we'll be introducing the vehicle in 10 days. And by respect to the 1,000 dealer will be in Connecticut in 10 days, I cannot tell you more about that this morning because we want the dealers to come and we'll explain to them who is the customer and the specification of the product. But we convince that the F3 will open up a larger customer base.
Okay. Okay, well, good luck on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Gerrick Johnson from BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. So we know Spark has been strong. Can you talk about the rest of the PWC lineup, how that do at retail?
Spark, very happy with that, like you said. The rest was as planned, I would say. Outside, to be honest, outside North America, we had very good momentum overall with the rest of the lineup. In North America, some of our competitors were very aggressive to try to compete against the Spark. The price gap is too wide to compete against the Spark, and that's affected some of the traditional watercraft, but we're very close to what we had in our plan. If you remember, Gerek, we always talk about 10% cannibalization, and retail was stronger than what we had planned, and overall we're very close to what we had planned originally in the business case.
Okay. I think part of the overall plan was to get people more excited about personal watercraft, drive traffic into the dealers, and re-energize the category. Do you think you've succeeded there?
Yes, no doubt about that.
Okay.
For us, we see dealer who typically in the middle of the summer had the watercraft line up in the back of the store, and this summer we saw a lot of dealer putting more focus on watercraft. And we also saw some dealers, we saw many customers coming in for a Spark, going out with a GTI. or GTS. And also I have to highlight the pack of Spark was very successful. You know, we had the graphic kit, and people, it's funny, people buy the Spark. It's a lower price point product, but they have had quite a lot of accessories, which is good for the business case.
Okay. And then on the 19% retail growth that you guys saw in North America, can you kind of quantify how much of that may have come from discounted products that you might not have sold if they weren't discounted? I know it's a tough one to answer, but maybe ballpark.
Hey, boy. I would say, Garek, you know, obviously we believe that the Spyder Non-Current and the Maverick have sold more because of the increased promotion.
Sure.
The rest was normal. That being said, it was, for us, it was a way to secure the second half after a soft April and May. Then, but it's very difficult to quantify.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Craig Kennison from Robert W. Baird. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. On the dealer expansion plan, could you give us an update on your progress there and maybe tell us how some of your new dealers are performing so far?
To be honest, it's on track. This year, we believe we are tracking well to deliver the 65-75 that we have as a target. We signed during the first half some dealers. There is a high number of dealers who is coming at club in September. And typically a dealer who is ready to sign sometime in June, July will prefer to wait in September to see us live, to meet the management, to try the product. There will be a good number of new dealer or potential dealer will come at the club in Connecticut in 10 days. But overall, we are on track. In terms of sales per new dealers, we are also tracking slightly above our plan. But overall, I would say that we are on plan.
Thank you. Are you signing new dealers who previously were not dealers, or are you signing dealers that previously carried other brands? And if so, maybe where are you seeing the most opportunity? Which brands are moving to BRP?
I mean, it's we're signing, there is many different combination or many different situation. Obviously, like I said in a few times, when you sign a dealer who is selling already, and is, let's say, dropping another brand, is taking BRP product, this is the quickest ramp up, because typically the showroom exists, they send a technician for training, and they are up and running quickly. When you start a dealer from scratch, it takes longer time between the time you sign and the time that is ramping up. But it's very difficult for us to give you some statistic, because there is a lot of different situation, but overall we're following our plan, and we're trying to make sure that we cover open point that we have in North America.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Tim Conder from Wells Fargo Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Jose, just to follow on Craig's question there, can you maybe characterize the percentage of your new dealers that are already carry competitive brands or in that camp of the ability to ramp up fast versus basically new to power sports?
To be honest, Craig, I'm not comfortable to guess here. If it's something that you're looking for, it's something that we can probably give you a sense going forward. But this morning, it would be very difficult for me to give you a sense on that one.
Okay. And then Jose, regarding, I guess, Europe in general, clearly The year last year was negatively impacted by the warm weather, and that impacted the sled business. Yet you guys seem to be doing okay there. And now, in general, what we've seen over the last several months is on the margin, Europe slowing from an economic perspective. Granted, probably part of that's to deal with what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, but can you give us any color what you're seeing at retail over the last several months, particularly in ORV and in anything you're doing with Spyder there over the, say, since the last, over the last 90 days?
I would say Russia is a special situation, very difficult to predict, but as I said, right now, going as planned. If I look at Scandinavia, Scandinavia is, I would say, flattish. And last winter, the dealer, like you said, the winter was quite warm. Then, but our retail was good overall. And the dealer, there is many customers who don't have much mileage on their sled. Then we anticipating a good, a normal season, I would say, in Scandinavia. What surprised us lately is Western Europe. Western Europe, if you take France, Germany, all the small country, Belgium, UK, the retail is solid. It's the number have shrank a lot since the recession, but the retail is growing on constantly quarter after quarter, and we're quite happy with the momentum, and it's all product line almost that is growing there. There is some idea that are very, very encouraging. Asia-Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, China is doing quite well, to be honest, better than planned. That being said, like I said on my opening, LATAM, if you take Brazil, Chile, and Argentina, is growing a bit slower than what we had planned originally. Then overall, like I said on my opening, we're growing at international 8% despite the Russia situation, which is lower than last year. Like we said in Q1, we're planning Russia to be down 20% versus fiscal year 14. Then we're quite happy with the performance of our product line at international.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mark Petrie from CIBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Most of my questions have been answered, but I just wanted to ask a bit about the Spark business, and specifically, which you touched on earlier, but specifically about the gross margin mix, as it relates to, you know, a lower gross margin on the product, but a higher gross margin on the pack business, or better sell-through on the pack business. How should we expect that to evolve over time, as Spark continues to grow?
Yeah, hi, this is Mark. When we're looking at overall Spark, you'll recall that when we launched the Spark, we talked about the expected revenues for this year, about $65 to $70 million. And we saw we adjusted our guidance upward in seasonal products driven by Spark. So when we're looking at Spark today, we're probably looking at total revenues for the year of about $125 million. We talked about cannibalization in the range of $30-$35 million initially when we launched it. Cannibalization ratio was probably a bit lower, so probably in the range of $50 million overall when we're looking at it for the upcoming season as well. So Spark is on the overall product success is very good for us, and it's accretive to the bottom line. The margins are similar to our entry-level traditional PWCs. So on a product global product basis, yes, it will reduce the margins somewhat. We'll catch up some of it with the pack business, but on the bottom line, it will be accretive as the as you see the volume is quite significant for Spark this year.
And how should we think about the pack business sort of in the second half? I mean, year to date, you're up 15%, which is the high end of your guidance range. You know, I know it's heavier on snowmobiles, which is going to be a big driver of the growth in the second half. How should we think about pack growth going forward?
Like you said, we ship a lot of snowmobile for the upcoming season in Q2. Difficult to plan snowmobile because it's difficult snowmobile. You could have plus or minus, I would say, in Q4, depending of the snow condition. that could play up or down. But for the rest, except for snowmobile that was stronger in Q2 and Spark that was also stronger in Q2, the rest, I would say, is going as planned on all the other product lines. Then we should be within the guidance we gave you on this.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. Our next question is from Chris Bowles from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Sebastian, just as we look at the seasonality and seasonal products for the balance of the year, given the early ramp to Ski-Doo production this year, do you expect to see more balance between Q3 and Q4, or do you think it's going to be Q4 loaded as usual?
I think we will be seeing some shipments constantly throughout the second half of the year. Q3 is going to be snowmobile related, as again we've mentioned that our demand for snowmobile was very strong, and we'll see some seasonal product increases in the second or the later part of the quarter. Driven in part by PWC. That's when we start shipping PWC for the upcoming season. And as I've mentioned, Spark is going very strong, and those deliveries will be starting in the fourth quarter.
All right, fair enough. Just move to the Juarez facility. Can you maybe give us a little bit more granularity and tell us when you expect the product to start rolling off the line and maybe when we can expect to find out what the product's going to be?
That's you mean the new facility in Juarez? We call it Juarez 2. Like we said in the spring, the Juarez 1 where we're producing right now ATV and side-by-side is limit in terms of capacity because we are somewhat in the middle of the city and we cannot expand. That's why we launched the new one. We'll start construction this October. And like we said, the production is planned to start late fall 2015. Obviously, for competitive reason, Chris, I cannot tell you more than that, but it's to enter new off-road segment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Bossy.
Great, thank you, Maud. So this concludes today's call. I want to thank all of our participants for their interest and their support. And I invite you to join us for our third quarter earnings call to be held on December 12th. So with that, thank you very much, and you all have a very good day. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.